Well, it's good to be with you here in Dromore. This is only my second time ever in the congregation. Being all the way from Porto Vogue, I'm not often in the town of Dromore either. It's just too big a drive, so I avoid it. And it's also especially good to see a brother from Toronto here tonight. I was preaching in Toronto over the summer, and I had the privilege of getting to know them, and it's good to renew fellowship with them tonight. And we are, of course, looking to the Lord for his grace and for his blessing. We'll open God's word, please, at the Gospel of Matthew and the chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. And we'll commence our reading at the verse 24. Matthew chapter 13 and the verse 24. And God's word says there, "Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? And from whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn." Amen. And may the Lord be pleased to bless the public reading of his word to all of our hearts for his glory. We'll bow in prayer and we'll seek the Lord's face and his help as we consider some thoughts from his word this evening. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to Thee now and we confess our weakness before Thee, Lord. We confess tonight, O Heavenly Father, that we need Thee. We need Thee, Lord, if we are to understand the Word. We need Thee, Lord, as the Word is preached. We pray, O Heavenly Father, for the power of the Holy Ghost now. Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. And we pray that the Word will be applied with the power of the Spirit also. Lord, speak through the Scriptures tonight. Lord, so many places across this land, they seek an emotional buzz. They seek all of these things, and they think it's the presence of God. Yet, O Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that the Word of God opened and the Word of God preached is the presence of God. Heavenly Father, speak to hearts. Save the lost tonight, Lord. Show them their need of salvation. Lord, we rest wholly upon Thee now, and we pray that Thou wilt glorify Thy name in our midst. We pray in our Saviour's holy and precious name. Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 13. It introduces us to what we refer to as the kingdom parables. Now, the content of this chapter leads into a key period in the ministry of Christ. Because in verse 1 we have the setting of these parables. And it tells us that the Lord Jesus went out of the house and he sat by the seaside. And this was a significant act by the Saviour because Christ had been teaching among the Jews. And their fierce rejection of him, it appeared to come to a head in the previous chapter. And now we read that he goes outside the house. Now many commentators have suggested that his going outside of the house symbolizes that the Saviour has turned his attention away from the house of Israel or the Jews, and he has turned his attention towards the sea. Now in Scripture, the sea symbolizes the Gentile nations. Isaiah 60 and verse 5 says, "Because the abundance of the sea shall be covered unto thee, the forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee." So having been rejected as king by his own people, the Jews, Christ now appears to be turning his attention towards the Gentiles in the world. And this is very fitting, because the Saviour would now go on to speak to his hearers regarding the kingdom of heaven. And in many instances, he would use parables to display how his kingdom would grow, and that its growth would indeed include the Gentile nations. Now, the reason he spoke in parables was because of the condition of the people's hearts. Their hearts had become dull. Their hearts had become hard. They had become blind to the things of God. And what Christ was doing in using parables was he was exciting the minds of those who desire to know truth and those who desire to grow in truth. But at the same time, he was also concealing the truth from those who were rebellious. In other words, he would not cast his pearls before swine. But in giving these parables, Christ was also fulfilling prophecy. And the truths that are revealed in Matthew 13 had been kept a secret from the foundation of the world, because they were a mystery hidden from the people, but now they were revealed in Christ. His disciples, they asked him in verse 10 why he was speaking in parables. And he answered the disciples in verse 11, and he said, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And in these parables, Christ desired to teach them things concerning the kingdom of heaven. Now, there was much misconception about the kingdom of heaven among the Jews, because the Jews were expecting a messianic kingdom existing as a political force, probably with an army, which would overthrow the Roman Empire and grant them freedom from the yoke of the Romans. And they were probably disappointed, perhaps even dismayed, when Christ came and he revealed that the kingdom was something totally different. But the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, as revealed in Matthew 13, display that the kingdom is something of a totally different nature. The kingdom of heaven, in these parables, in a very simple sense, it refers to what we call the visible church. And as we come to verse 24 of this chapter, we are introduced to what we know as the parable of the weeds, or the parable of the tares and the wheat. The Lord has already taught much about the kingdom in Matthew chapter 13, but he goes on to teach more about the kingdom through this parable. And it is with these thoughts in mind and these verses and the parable of the weeds in mind that I want you to consider from this parable three lessons concerning the kingdom. Three lessons concerning the kingdom. I want you to see firstly that the kingdom's growth is progressive. Because verse 24 of Matthew 13 says, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. The kingdom, then, it resembles a man which sowed good seed. We have a picture here, very simply, of a man sowing seed. And the Lord Jesus tells us in verse 37 of this chapter that he is indeed the one who is sowing the seed. He says there, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. He says in verse 38 also, the field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. And what is represented in this parable is different to what we see in the parable of the sower. Because the parable of the sower pictured the seed as the word of God, which was being sown. But this parable here that we have before us, it portrays the seed as the children of the kingdom, or as the children of God, being scattered throughout the whole world, which is represented by the field. So, the children of God are scattered throughout the world by the sower, Jesus Christ. He scatters his children all over the globe. He scatters us throughout the world. And in one sense, we are as his seed. We are his truth bearers. We take his truth and we bear that truth to others wherever we go, in order that they might also be brought into the kingdom. And in another sense, we are in and of ourselves his truth. For when we live the gospel out in our lives, we ourselves show the power and the transforming nature of the gospel of the kingdom. And Christian, as we think about that tonight, that is a big responsibility for each and every one of us. We have been planted as good seed in this field of the world. And as a result, we have this awesome responsibility to be bearers of the truth of that kingdom, in order that we might initiate growth, and that we might initiate the continual growth of the kingdom of God throughout this world. In very simple terms, we are to bear witness of the gospel of Jesus Christ in order that we may win others to Christ. When we do this, we are truly the seed of Jesus Christ. The kingdom grows when we bear this light to others. The kingdom grows when we as his seed bear this light. For we ourselves then, we are sowing. When we take our faith to work, when we take it to school, to university, to the children of the church, to the young people, wherever we take it, we are encouraging the growth of the kingdom of God in this world. And to quote a well-known harvest hymn, I want to ask you tonight, Christian, are you sowing the seed of the kingdom? As the Lord's seed, are you bearing the truth of the gospel to others? Are you by bearing this truth seeking to procure growth in the field of this world? Perhaps you are, but it takes time. If we are to see growth, it takes time. And this is the main thrust of my point. When seed is sown, growth takes time. I remember in primary school when I was around 5 or 6 years old, we would have been handed these bulbs and these little pots, and we would have planted them in soil in the classroom. I don't know if you ever experienced that. And we would have been sent home with pots, and we would have been told to look after them and to water them and to give them plenty of light and to watch them grow. And when I first got my bulb, I was very enthusiastic at the start. I watered it every day. I placed it on the windowsill. And as the days went on, being a very impatient child, I grew frustrated when I saw no results. And I had watered the plant, I had given it plenty of light, yet I saw nothing. I saw no growth whatsoever. And after maybe a week, I stopped watering the plant. I stopped giving the plant light. I actually put the plant into a cupboard. And at the last, I just threw it into the bin and says, I'll get no flowers from this bulb. I didn't reap any of the potential rewards of my labor. And you can imagine then my envy as I went into the classroom after a few weeks and everyone walked in with their nice fancy flowers and nice fancy plants and mine was sitting at the bottom of a bin somewhere. The point is this, I needed patience and I didn't have patience. And brothers and sisters, it can be like that for us in the Lord's work. As we bear his light in this world, we often see little results. When no souls are saved, when the numbers never increase, in fact, when the numbers even drop, and we are laboring in this part of the Lord's field here in Dromore, among children, among young people, in whatever capacity, when we see no results, we can often get discouraged. We see no results for our labor. There is nothing more discouraging. It is easy to grow frustrated. It is easy to give up. It is very tempting to give up. However, we must remember what is pictured in this verse. We have a man sowing seed. Jesus Christ is always sowing seed in his field. He is always causing the kingdom to grow. He is always adding more good seed to what is already there. But as is the case in farming in general, seed takes time to grow. It requires patience. It requires persistence through all seasons. And believer, the growth of the kingdom is progressive. We may not see immediate results as we labor here in Dromore or whatever churches we labor in. But the sower pictured in verse 24 is Jesus Christ himself. And he tells us in Matthew 16 and 18, I will build my church. Brethren and sisters, be encouraged tonight. Take heart tonight because Christ will ensure that the kingdom grows. Christ will ensure that Christ will keep sowing more seed. He will keep sowing more seed in the field of the world. The growth is not in our hands. The growth is in the hands of the Savior. We may labor for decades and never see a soul saved. We may labor for decades and never see a church grow. But we have to leave it in the hands of the Lord. Because we don't see a soul saved, because we don't see a church grow, it doesn't mean that we haven't been successful in our light bearing in this field of the world. The Lord's not asking us to see results produced. The Lord is just asking us to be faithful. That's what he wants us to do. That's what he wants us to do. Bear the light of the gospel to others. That's what we've been scattered in this field to do. Very simply, bear the light of the gospel to others. Dear friends, a man could labor in a church among 10 people for 40 years and never see growth, but if he's faithful, that's all the Lord wants. What does the Lord want of you tonight? He wants you to be faithful. He has scattered you in this field. Continue bearing his light, and the Lord will bless, and he will grow, and you might be in eternity by the time he does, but that is his promise. May God grant us the grace and the perseverance to continue bearing light in his field. The growth of the kingdom is progressive, but I want you to see secondly with me that the kingdom will face adversity. Because our text says in verses 25 to 26 of Matthew 13, "But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also." Christ tells us in verse 39 that the enemy who is pictured here in verse 25 is Satan. And in verse 38, he tells us that the tares are the children of the devil. And pictured here is the work of Satan in opposition to the work of Christ. Christ is sowing seed in this world. He is scattering believers all over the world. But Satan is also sowing in the world. And God has a redemptive purpose for mankind. He has a plan of salvation for mankind. But Satan works to hinder this work as much as he possibly can. And in these verses we see a reference to wheat. And this is the children of God. The wheat pictured here is the children of God. It is the choicest thing in the field. And sown among the wheat is tares. But you'll notice that it says when the blade was sprung up. Now wheat and tares, they look very similar at the early stages of their development. They could not be distinguished. But as they went on and as the blade sprung up and brought forth fruit, the wheat and the tares grew side by side and they became more distinguishable. And commentators such as John Calvin, they suggest that what is pictured in these sentiments is the fact that Christ scatters his church throughout the world, and then Satan will come and look to impact the purity of the church. And there is, friends, there is truth in that. Because a house that is divided within itself, it will fall. And the devil will seek to damage the church from within. And therefore, in the church, he will sow tares. Or he will place those who are not genuine children of God among those who are genuine children of God. And like the wheat and the tares, before the blade springs up, they will look alike. They will grow alongside each other. It will be almost impossible to tell the difference. And this is what Satan wants. He wants to subtly place his children in the visible church and cause trouble. We have witnessed an outworking of that clearly in our day. We have witnessed how the great denominations of our land and the individual churches which were once so faithful to the preaching and to the full counsel of God have become infiltrated by apostates who are the servants of Satan, and they have eventually fallen and they have crumbled because of false doctrine and embracing that which is evil. Even among genuine believers, there is a wide range of doctrinal beliefs. And you can only really attribute that to the work of Satan in seeking to cause division and in seeking to cause confusion in the church. We can even narrow this down tonight and think of the local church setting. Quite often, Satan will place those in the local church who are sowers of discord. Or in other words, he will place those in the local church who are troublemakers. You always get people in the church who seek to cause trouble. They will undermine the work in any way they can, whether it be to undermine the minister, undermine the session, undermine the committee, talking about those who labour among the children and the young people in the church and saying vicious things about their work behind their back. They will always look to undermine the work. They will turn people against other people. They will create division. They will create disunity. Friends, we could go on all night and say what troublemakers do in the church. And this is the kind of stuff that the devil wants his tares to do among the body of believers. He wants the work to be hindered. He wants to stop the work going forward. And Christian, You need to make sure tonight that you aren't doing the work of the devil. You need to make sure that you don't undermine the work of this church in any way. Because if you do, then you are doing the work of the devil. And further than this, if you continue to do things like this in the church over a period of time, then on the authority of Scripture, there may be reason to even suspect that you, even if you profess faith, are a tear among the wheat. Because such behavior is a characteristic of one who is a tear among the wheat, of one who is a child of the devil. Brethren and sisters, let us examine our conduct tonight. All of us, let us ensure that we are not engaged in that which is the work of Satan among the church of Jesus Christ. And there is another thought that we can glean from verses 25 and 26 tonight. Because as the church of Christ, or as the wheat that is in the field, we must realize that in this world we will grow side by side with the tares. Now, while the kingdom of God exists, the kingdom of Satan will also exist alongside the kingdom of God, with the primary aim of trying to vex the kingdom. And as the blade springs up and the wheat and the tares grow, they become more distinguishable. We start to notice the difference between the tares and the wheat as they mature. We see this in verse 27. For the servants ask the question, "Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares?" A wonderful commentator has said concerning the growth of the tares. He says, "The growth of tares will evidence itself in horrid debauchery and unimaginable abomination." He says, "Over time, as men become more and more self-consciously tare-like, more and more self-consciously of the spirit of Antichrist, the curse becomes more and more evident. They persist in their rebellion even to the end." Can we not see this manifest in our day today, believers? The evil that we are witnessing in this world, the debauchery that we are witnessing in this world, people are becoming more antagonistic towards the gospel, towards the church, towards the people of God. And I only think personally that it will get worse. What does our text say tonight concerning the wheat? Does the wheat wither and die because of the tares? Do the tares smother the wheat? Or do the tares grow so big to an extent where they cast a shadow over the wheat? The answer very simply is no. Despite the presence of the tares, the wheat continues to grow and the wheat continues to thrive. Christian, we live in days where we are confronted with unimaginable evil. We must be open to the possibility that it may get worse, that the antagonism towards the church may grow, that it may even turn into full-blown persecution one day. Yet the church continues to thrive and grow, no matter what's thrown at it. Why? Because thanks be to God, God is with the church, and he continues to allow the church to thrive and grow in this field of the world. The church of Jesus Christ, it becomes more potent through the grace of God. The truth of the gospel becomes clearer and clearer as time goes on. The steadfast reality of the good news becomes more and more of a contrast with the vain fantasy and philosophies of the world. The promise of the Great Commission is more widely realized as history unfolds, because the church of Christ will continue, like the wheat, it will continue to thrive. The church, friends, will face adversity, whether from within or whether from without, but regardless, she continues to grow, to thrive, and God will fulfill through the church his redemptive purpose for mankind. No matter what the devil does, no matter what the devil sows in this world, God will accomplish his purposes. And what an encouragement that ought to be to our hearts tonight. In Christ, and through grace, we are a church which will thrive and grow, no matter what the world throws at us, even in the midst of adversity, because we are pictured as the wheat in the field. The kingdom will face adversity, but I want you to see finally with me that the kingdom will enjoy a joyous end. Verses 29 to 30 say, "But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn."
There is an end coming. There is an end of this world which is coming. And in verses
29 and 30, it is called the harvest. And this is why Christ, in these verses, refuses to allow the tares to be uprooted, because there is a day of harvest approaching. And does this not display the long-suffering and the mercy of God towards sinners? Because God can see the evil in the world. He can see the tares. He can see what they are doing to the church. He can see them within the church. And he could cut them off immediately, yet he is merciful. Yet he is long-suffering. An unsaved person tonight in this meeting, you fall into this category of the tares. You are of the kingdom of the devil. You are of the seed of the devil. But you are also a beneficiary of the long-suffering and the mercy of Jesus Christ. Why? Because you haven't already been plucked out of the field. And you are not in a state of eternal damnation because of your sins. But the harvest is approaching. Christ talks in these verses of the harvest, and when the reapers or his angels will gather both the tares and the wheat, and there will be a day of great separation. And he says concerning the tares that the reapers will bind them in bundles to burn. Those of Satan's kingdom who have been permitted to grow alongside the kingdom of heaven in this parable, the hypocrites, the heretics, the antagonizers of the church, those who are the seed of Satan, those who are unrepentant breakers of God's law, the unsaved, whatever you call them tonight, they will be separated from the righteous by the angels, and they will be burned. In other words, they will face the wrath of God, which will be that consuming fire, which is everlasting and unquenchable. Unsaved friend, if you remain unsaved, this is the fate that awaits you. And you need to flee tonight from your sin, and you need to put your faith in Jesus Christ, because he has gone to the cross. He has borne the wrath of God on behalf of sinners, and he can offer you forgiveness tonight in the gospel if you only turn to him for salvation. Oh, dear friend, repent and flee before you face this most dreadful of harvest fates. And verse 30, it gives us an insight as to the fate of the wheat, or the children of the kingdom of heaven. It says concerning them, "But gather the wheat into my barn." The wheat, or the people of God, they will be freed on the day of harvest from the adversity of the world. They are taken to a place where they are safe and out of reach of their enemies. They are inducted by the holy angels into the barn of Jesus Christ. And that is, they are inducted into the heavenly kingdom, where they will have their eternal rest. We friends, we will no longer be in the field of the world, afar off from the barn, but we will be in the barn, and we will be in the nearer presence of our Father, even free from our own corruption. Matthew 13 and 34 says, "Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father." As we think about the harvest, and as we think about the harvest day that is coming, the end of the world, what a glorious day that's going to be for us as God's people. We will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of our Father. And as I bring this message to a close this evening, Christian, this is the hope that we have in our hearts tonight, the hope of heaven. This is the hope that we have when we think of harvest time, because the Lord of the harvest will usher in that glorious eternal period for which our souls yearn tonight. The harvest will be the inauguration of our eternal fellowship in the immediate presence of Jesus Christ. What a day that's going to be. Do you not desire to see it coming? I know I do. We have much to be thankful for this harvest, but we also have much to look forward to in the future. And unsaved friend, the harvest doesn't portray any hope for you at all. For you it will be the inauguration of eternal sorrow. It will be the total opposite of what it is for the believer. And my prayer for you tonight is that God will open your eyes, that you will, by faith in Christ, get your soul prepared for the great day of the harvest, and that you will be saved. Dear friends, may God bless his word to all of our hearts tonight for his glory. Amen. Amen. I'll just hand back over now to our brother Andrew to bring the service to a close. Thank you.
Well, can I thank our brother for bringing that very clear message from the Lord tonight. What a wonderful promise we have in Scripture. God says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Man can sow the seed in water, but it's only God can give the increase. So let's all pray to that end, that the Lord would even give us an increase at this harvest time, as he would bring the ones and twos into his kingdom. We're going to sing a closing hymn at this time. We're going to sing hymn number 737. It'll be on the screens there beside us. Come, ye thankful people, come, raise the song of harvest home. Let's lift up our praise to the Lord. We've much to be thankful to God tonight. Let's all sing this out unto the Lord, standing after the introduction. That we do indeed come to the Lord of harvest in prayer. We thank thee that thou art the one who is able to give the increase. And Heavenly Father, we do pray tonight that thou wouldst even be pleased to bless the word that has gone forth tonight, even as that seed that has been thrown upon the field. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst be pleased to give the increase, that thou wouldst be pleased that that seed would even fall on the good ground, that even that heart would receive the word and would even believe upon it. For thy word does tell us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Oh, we thank thee for the word that has been proclaimed. We thank thee for those promises in Scripture which thou hast given to us. We thank thee for the tremendous encouragement that there is for the believer today, that thou shalt indeed build thy church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We thank thee that even though those tares are sown amongst the wheat, that it cannot damage thy work in any way. It cannot pluck away any man from thyself, for thou hast told us that no man can pluck us from thy hand. Lord, we pray that thou keep us safe from the attacks of the wicked one, for we know that he does walk about as the roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But we know that we have our strength and our hope founded in Christ, for we're told in thy word that thou art that strong tower, the righteous runneth into it and is safe. So, Lord, we ask that thou keep us safe in these days that lie ahead of us. Be with us in this week that we are entering into. May we do all to thy glory and to thy honour. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible to the only wise God, be glory and honour forever and ever. Amen.